Sensing that God is active, present, and constantly at work, leading all of creation toward the plan of redemption, as we light this candle, we ask for faith to watch for God's presence and open our eyes to see all that God is doing.
Good morning. Started off a little bit different this morning, didn't we? Everybody feel a little bit uncomfortable. That's a good thing in church. Uncomfortable in church means God's working, and we are here gathered on this second Sunday of Advent, looking forward to how God and how Christ is going to work through our time of worship this morning. We are excited, as our children are excited, in leading in worship this day, and you are in for a special treat this morning as our children come and lead in our time of worship this morning. Before we get to that, though, I do want to remind you about a couple things going on in the life of our church, specifically this evening. First off, I want to remind everybody, we do have a fellowship meal tonight at 5 o'clock. We want everybody to come out for a time of fellowship around the table. Prior to that fellowship meal, reminder to ministry teams that we do have church council at 4 o'clock this afternoon. 4 o'clock church council, 5 o'clock fellowship meal. Then at 5:30, our children and youth will be meeting. Our children are having a party tonight. Is that what I heard, Gabe? So if you don't want to meet with the youth and you don't want to meet with the adults, go down to the children's wing and have the party with them. I gave them the open invitation, Gay. I hope you have enough food. But the youth will do finishing up our study, our Advent study tonight, and I encourage them to come out as well for that. Adults, a reminder, at 5:45 tonight is our Elon Roundtable meeting. We want everyone to be there. Quite a few things are going to be discussed, one of which is the budget. The budget will not be voted on tonight, but it will be discussed tonight. So I encourage you to come out tonight and share your thoughts on the ministries coming up in 2018. We have a wonderful, wonderful Advent schedule ahead of us as well. You don't want to miss next Sunday morning when our choir comes and leads in their annual cantata. It will be a special presentation next Sunday morning. Also, we have our Christmas Eve communion service coming up on December 24th at 5 p.m. A few things that are in your that I did not mention are in your salmon colored sheet, but I encourage you to take note of those special opportunities coming up in the weeks to come. As we gather here this morning, we do gather in the presence of Christ. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, as we gather here this second Sunday of Advent, this season, this Sunday of hope, we know the hopeful expectation that will come from the joy that we will experience as our children lead in worship. More so, Father, we know about the hope that your Son, Jesus Christ, came during this season and brought hope to this world. And for that, we give you thanks. We lift up this opportunity to worship you this morning, knowing that you provided the opportunity, despite the winter weather outside, to gather in your house to worship this morning. We are excited, we are filled with anticipation, and we are filled with hope. We lift this prayer in Jesus Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, our song of our offertory hymn, which is a little bit earlier, is Away in a Manger. However, the screens aren't going to work, so you're going to either have to sing it from your memory or pick up those hymnals that are right in front of you and turn to hymn number 103, Away in a Manger. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3. Please stand and enjoy our time of celebration this morning. Thank you.
Welcome. Today we embark on a special journey, the journey to Bethlehem. We are not the first to take this journey. The trip has been made by rich kings and lowly shepherds, and even the angels in heaven. And we too have been invited to make this journey. At the end of it, we will meet our Savior, Jesus, the newborn King. Even before that first Christmas, God was preparing the hearts of his people for the coming Messiah. He spoke through prophets, like Isaiah, to spread the word of the one who was to come.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and a government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counsel, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Come in.
Hello, Father.
How are you, Joseph?
Good, thanks. How's Mom?
She's okay. Business going well?
It's good.
I see you're still making the chair joints your way.
It works better my way, Dad.
Nah, it's just a cheap shortcut. You're just trying to avoid splinters.
That's why it works better, Dad. No splinters.
As long as people aren't crashing to the floor, who cares, right? What is this?
This? Just something for a friend.
May I see it? Ah, you're building a crib.
Yes, I am.
For a friend? Joseph, I know you know why I'm here. There are whispers in town. Many rumors going around about Mary.
I know that, Dad.
I wish you would reconsider this marriage.
I can't.
Joseph, this is an embarrassment.
For whom, Dad? Me, you, or Mom?
There's no reason to fight this. If you are worried about her life, she won't be harmed. We made sure of that.
Dad, I'm going to marry her, and I'm going to raise that baby with her.
Don't be a fool, Joseph. Do you really believe the child she is carrying is the Son of God?
Yes, I do.
How do you know?
Because the angel came to me, too. He told me that the child inside of her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I can't leave her because this is what God wants.
Joseph, think of yourself for a moment. This is not your mess. Don't throw your life away.
What if Abraham thought like you, Dad? What if he refused to believe God would make his family into a nation? What if Ruth returned to Moab and never came to Israel? What if David let fear keep him from fighting Goliath? I don't know why God chose me for this, but I have faith he will take care of us, Mary, the baby, and me.
Your mother will be disappointed. What should I tell her?
Tell her I'm following the Lord, just as you taught me.
You certainly are.
God spoke into the hearts of the prophets to deliver his message of the Messiah to the world. Now it was time for God to speak to those who would be taking the journey to Bethlehem for themselves. God spoke through an angel to a young virgin named Mary, delivering the exhilarating and overwhelming message that she would give birth to God's own son. She accepted the assignment with humility, and she praised God. When her fiancé heard the news that Mary would have a baby, he had quite a different reaction. Joseph was a simple carpenter, and he did not understand what was happening. Whatever journey Mary was on now, he did not intend to be a part of it. But God had something different in mind. It was his purpose that his own son, Jesus, would have an earthly father to care for and raise him. He had chosen Joseph to be that father and to make that journey to Bethlehem with Mary.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place and fulfilled what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive the gift and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Joseph's story reminds us that the journey to Jerusalem requires faith. God calls us to put our faith in him, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. God has a plan for our steps. Sometimes he gives us the whole picture, but we often only can see the next step in front of us. But when we move forward in faith, we find that God has already been there preparing things for us. Now we'll meet a few of the people who made that journey to Bethlehem so many years ago. For them, the journey was a long one and required preparation. Let's take a look.
Okay, guys, I think we're ready to roll. Let's go over our checklist one more time. Luggage?
Check.
Travel games?
Check.
Check.
Camel feed?
Check.
Water for camels?
Check.
Cooler with an endless supply of root beer?
Check-a-rooney.
iPod?
Check. Really? We're going to have to listen to this the whole way? You put me in charge of the music. I don't want to hear any complaints.
Gifts for newborn king?
Check.
Check-a-rooney.
You guys think it's going to be crowded?
I'm sure we'll run into some traffic around Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah? I'm sure we will. But what about where the baby is? Yeah, I'm sure it'll be crowded. After all, this is the Messiah, the King of Kings.
I'll bet everyone in Israel is trying to get a good look at him.
But what if they're not? What if they're not interested? Or what if they don't know he's been born?
Impossible. They had to see a star.
How could you miss it? I don't know. Maybe I'm being silly. I sure hope so. It would be a shame for these people to wait so many years only to miss it.
I know I'm not going to miss it. Let's get moving.
Not to worry, Jim. This is God's Messiah, and God will make sure the people know he has come.
I hope so. I'd hate for anyone to miss him.
That's the spirit. Now, how about a little traveling music?
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all the Jews along with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child as soon as you find him. Report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
The Magi journeyed from very far to meet the newborn king. They had to travel many miles on their way to Bethlehem. But they never lost sight for the reason for their journey. God had placed a new star in the sky to guide the Magi. It went before them, showing them the way. If they had turned to the right or the left, they would have missed the opportunity to meet the baby Jesus. If they'd gotten tired or turned back, they would have missed the blessing. But with their eyes on the star, they were reminded of what awaited them. All of the hot days and long nights, the sore backs, and the uncomfortable beds would be worth it in the end, because in the end they would see and know Jesus. We too must remember what Christmas is really about. Our heads can be turned by the shiny ornaments and the stockings on the mantle and the presents under the tree. These things are great, but we mustn't let them distract us from the true meaning of Christmas. God's Son came to earth, born as a baby in a manger. It's the true meaning of Christmas. It's as true today as it was for the Magi, as true as it was for a group of lowly shepherds working out in the fields.
It sure is quiet tonight.
Yep.
It's quiet night. It's quiet nights that make a shepherd think he's going crazy. Your mind plays tricks on you.
It does?
You bet it does. A man starts to see strange sights and hear strange noises.
You mean like a mirage?
No, worse than a mirage. One time we had this buddy named Lou. On a quiet night like this, he went mad thinking he saw aliens from outer space land right over there on yonder hill.
Whoa!
Tricks. The mind plays tricks on you.
Yep.
It sure is quiet tonight.
Yep.
Hey, what's all that racket?
Ah, a talking sheep.
That talking shepherd.
What's all that racket? Bud, there's a talking sheep and cows.
No, there's not.
Look over there. Talk for me, sheep.
What am I, a trick pony?
I don't hear nothing except baa, baa, baa.
The sheep's talking. Listen to him. Tex, did you hear him?
Yep. There are no talking sheep. The mind plays tricks, my boy, tricks.
Billy Shepherd, tricks are for kids.
Now where were we? Oh, yeah. It sure is quiet tonight.
Bud, you said the mind plays tricks on you.
Tricks, I say tricks.
Yep. So if I said I saw an angel, would that count as another trick?
Oh yeah, well once I knew this fella named Roy. He thought he saw an angel light over in yonder pasture and promised him $1,000,000. He quit shepherding and ended up a poor man, poorer than any shepherd. Angels are nothing but illusions, right, Tex?
Nope.
No, what do you mean, no?
Hi.
You sure this is a trick?
I don't know, Junior.
Do not be afraid, but I bring you good news, which will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
That was real, right?
Yep.
You saw the angel, right?
Yep. What do we do?
What else? Let's go and see this thing the Lord has decided to tell us about. You coming?
Yeah, but why tell us? We're just a bunch of shepherds. Lowly, poor shepherds. Lowly, poor, uneducated, bad smelling, bad table manners.
Hey, 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 speak for yourself there, partner.
What do we do now?
I'll tell you what we do. We go and see this thing the Lord has decided to tell us about.
Yeehaw, let's go.
Thank you.
While the story of the Magi reminds us that even the wise and learned recognized how special Jesus was, the true essence of the Christmas story is that you don't have to be special to make the journey to Bethlehem. You just have to be willing.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while was governor of Caesarea, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there was shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around him, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news and will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared, with an angel praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
While some traveled many miles to Bethlehem, some came from just around the corner. As the angels told the shepherds, the message of Messiah is for everyone, rich, poor, young, old, man, woman, Jew, Gentile. Jesus is the God's love in the flesh, and his love knows no bounds, no limits, no categories. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've been, you can come to Bethlehem too and meet the newborn king. But be ready. The journey doesn't end in Bethlehem. Jesus' journey and the journey of those who follow him is just beginning.
So here we are at last, Father and Son. Seems so strange to be in this position. If you are who everyone says you are, it should be you holding me, not me holding you. I don't know why you chose me to be the one to father you. I can only imagine how much more I will learn from you than you will ever learn from me. Is it all true, what they say about you? The Magi say you're the one Isaiah spoke of, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Mary said your name is Jesus, the Deliverer, and you've come to save your people. The shepherds said you came not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. Then there were the others, Simeon and Anna. They've been waiting a long time to see you. They praised you, your Father, our Heavenly Father, for letting them see you. Then they spoke of terrible things. People will rise and fall because of you. Tragedy will come, and your mother, my wife, will suffer because of you. How can this all be? If you're the mighty God and Prince of Peace, how can you also be the bringer of so much turmoil? Have you come to drive out the Romans, or have you come for something greater? I'm sorry, it's not fair to ask you all this. Tonight you're completely dependent on us, just a baby who needs nourishment and sleep. Rest well, my son. I'm sure all these things will come clear in time. I still wish someone would tell me why I was chosen to be your dad. I may come from the line of David, but there are many in Israel who can say the same. I'm no one special. I'm just a carpenter. You could have had a much easier life with someone else. Something tells me you didn't come here to live the easy life. I don't know what lies ahead for you, But I know this. I'm grateful you're finally here.
While Jesus was still a baby, Mary and Joseph took him to Jerusalem to be dedicated in accordance with Jewish tradition and law. When they arrived, they discovered two people who had been eagerly awaiting his arrival, the arrival of the Messiah.
When time came for the purification rites required of the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of of your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old and she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at the very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Both Simeon and Anna recognized that Jesus was the Messiah that God had promised way back when he spoke through Isaiah and the other prophets. It had been a long time waiting, but God never forgot his people. He loved them and was faithful to send his son. God's love knows no bounds. Simeon said that God's salvation would be for all nations and called Jesus a light to the Gentiles. Jesus did not come for some. He does not offer his love only to a select few. Jesus came for all people. And his journey does begin and end in Bethlehem. Simeon and Anna spoke of the redemption that was to come. Jesus would not stay a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. He would grow and become a strong, filled with wisdom and the grace of God. He would become a man and travel the countryside telling people the good news that God loves them. That love would eventually send Jesus to the cross. Although Jesus knew no sin, he suffered the indignity of a criminal's execution to pay the debt for our sins. He would die. After 3 days, Jesus was raised to life again. The redemption that Anna and Simeon spoke of was finally, completely, forever filled in Jesus Christ. This is the journey that God calls each of us on. The journey that leads to salvation, to redemption, to love, to Jesus. Once we get on this road, we will never be the same again. And it all started with that journey to Bethlehem. Yeah.